always said I married up. People, years ago when Jane and I were dating and she said yes to marrying me, all the brothers would say, you better believe in the grace of God. Because he has not treated you as your sins deserve. Well, I went, I'm not stupid, I know that. So. I hope that you will indulge me a little bit. I know this is going to sound a little weird, but hopefully I can tie it all together. You know, before I get going, you're going to get in your cars or whatever you drive away in just a few minutes. And what I hope that you will do is walk away with something that you got this week that you're really going to do something about. Mm. I go to seminars and conferences, marriages, and my tendency can be to be overwhelmed by all that I've gotten. If I want to take it to a dark side, I can say, there's no way I'm going to be able to live like this. Why try? And that's not my desire. That's not my hope. My hope is just to give you a few tools that you can work with that will enhance your marriage and make it better. All of our marriages are in a state of construction. Mm-hmm. We're in a process of change all the time. And so that's why we have these kinds of things together here. But I do, I was very serious, and I know there was, sometimes I speak very simplistic, a lot of times because that's just the way I am. If it's simple, I can understand it. If it gets real complex, I can't go there. But I really do believe that in order for you and I to cherish our spouses, we've got to really start with it in our hearts. And I really do hope that you will take the time to really set apart in your heart your spouse and cherish her or him. The other part, too, is really with your mind. You know, that you will cherish your spouse with your mind and really allow for those things to come into your mind that really enhance and build. That doesn't mean we're not working on stuff in our marriage. What I don't want you to hear this weekend is we don't need to work on the negative stuff. There's stuff that we've got to work on. But that can't be the sole focus of our marriage. Mm. It has to be the things that we do love and appreciate about each other. But I hope that maybe periodically you can ask your spouses in the next couple of days or weeks, do you feel cherished by me? Do you feel cherished by the way that I'm talking to you? Do you feel cherished by the way that I treat you? Do you feel cherished by the way that I seek your input in my life? Because I want you, of all people, to feel cherished. Mm. Making any sense here?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here's where I'm going to kind of go off on the deep end. And that is that 38 years ago today, I was baptized into Christ.
Wow. And happy birthday to you.
Bring a little perspective.
Yeah.
Do you know how many days I've been a disciple?
Wow.
Oh.
I will tell you.
Okay.
13,870 days.
Wow.
That's a long time, isn't it? How many times do I think I've needed forgiveness?
Well.
In that 13,870 days.
Every day.
I know I needed it at least every day. Probably more. How many times do you think that I've needed mercy extended to me? At least 13,870 times. At least. How many times do you think that I've had to plead God for patience with me, Lord, as I'm trying as best I know how to be a disciple of Jesus? How many times do you think I've had to ask for mercy in those 38 years? See, when I was baptized into Christ, I didn't know if I was going to make it to the end of the week. And yet, because of knowing my own sinful nature, I knew that the bigger thing, it's probably true with all of us, we didn't need a very much time to contemplate the fact that we needed a Savior. You know, we knew we were sinful people. My problem was surrendering my life to the Lordship of Jesus. And that was the thing that I had to agonize over, but I'm so proud that I was able to relinquish my control and give it to the control of the Lord here. Now, I'm saying all that to this because you guys are getting ready to walk away in your marriage. And one of the things, I had originally thought I was going to title the message, "You Want Me to Do This How Many Times?" Because some of the things that you and I have to do in order to maintain a marriage are things that we have to do a lot of times.
Yeah.
Turn with me in the Bibles over to Matthew 18.
Come on.
All right, I'm getting a little insecure, so I'll just need you to talk to me every once in a while. I was encouraged when they were singing this song using the word ain't. Yeah. And I said, "Did the English use the word ain't?" She goes, "Yeah, when you're emphasizing." I went, "Oh, okay. All right." So that fires me up here. But I've got a couple of passages of scriptures, but I really just want to give you some parting thoughts if I can.
Amen.
It says in verse 21 of Matthew 18, before we get there, one of the things that I find incredibly funny about being a disciple, and that is that God, oftentimes I will want God to show me a lot of special treatment, a lot of special care, give me a lot of special grace, and then I want to turn around and treat people with less than that. I don't know why that's weird. It's weird about that about us, that we want God to do all this awesome stuff towards us, and then we turn around and we're very impatient with each other. We're very unwilling to forgive each other. We have little or no mercy towards each other. And I wanted to bring this into perspective. Verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. You know, and if you read into the scriptures, you say it's not just, 490 times that we have a max out on our forgiveness, but it's an unlimited amount of time, right? All right, I'm losing everybody. Y'all with me on this? Are y'all thinking? Okay. It's funny, in a parallel passage, after the Lord says that, what's the response of the disciples?
Increase our faith.
What? Lord, increase our faith. You know, I'm willing to forgive seven times. I'm even willing to forgive 70 times. But please don't ask me to do seven times 70. That's more than I should have to bear. And yet in reality, as I look at my own life, the thing that I have been so impressed with, as I've shared with you, is that God has had to do this 13,087 and 870 times, at least in my life.
Wow.
Now, what should that do in the way that I treat my spouse?
Wow.
One person went, with me. Wow. Maybe some of you can go, okay. Now you think about it.
Wow.
See, the Lord has had to do a whole lot of forgiving of me to keep me faithful.
Amen.
And yet, when it comes to my spouse, I want to have a very short list on how many times I'm willing to forgive her. We'll say things like, "Well, I don't think you're serious if I have to keep forgiving you." And I'm not talking about belligerent sin and all of that. I'm just talking about day-to-day stuff.
Mm.
The day-to-day stuff that kind of wears the love away from each person.
Mm.
But my point is that in all of our lives, God has to do more than enough in our lives. He has to forgive us more than we are even aware of. And then when it comes to the most special relationship in this world, we turn around and we have a short list with them. "Well, I can't forgive you for that. Or I'm tired of putting up with that from you. When I said I do, I didn't know I was saying I do to all of this stuff." Or as one brother told me one time, "I didn't know I was signing up for this." But my point is, it's very ludicrous as a disciple to expect God to be gracious to me, God to forgive me of many sins, God to bless me with many things, God to be patient with me about over and over things that I am struggling with in my own life, and me turn around and go, I can't work with you. That doesn't make sense. That to me in my life is the epitome of hypocrisy.
Wow.
Let's go on and read.
Come on, Keith.
He goes on and he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle on accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, which is millions of dollars, and brought to him, it was brought to him, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered it that he and his wife, that would be a bad marriage retreat, right? That he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. That's not a good day. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. And I will pay back everything. You knew the guy could not do that. It wasn't within his ability. Just like our sin, as wicked as it is, we have no ability to pay it back.
Wow.
The reason that it is free is because it's beyond our ability to pay it back. The grace of God is free towards us. He said, I'll pay it back. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owned him who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. Said the same thing almost, didn't he? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their masters everything that had happened to them. When the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all of your debts, or the debts of yours, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your spouse or your fellow servant, just as I have had mercy on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It is so amazing to me how I, in my own sinful state, can beg God for mercy. How in my own sinful state I can beg God, please be patient with me. Do not treat me as my sins deserve. That I beg Him for more understanding, more guidance, and He gives it to me. And then for me to be impatient with my spouse, that I'm unwilling to be forgiving, or to show her mercy, or to show her the kindness that I so much want God to give me. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
You see, when you look at this first guy, how much mercy did this guy get? Huh? He got a lot, didn't he? He owed over millions. How much did he give?
Nothing.
He didn't give any. You know, how much patience did he beg for from the master? An awful lot. He says, I'll pay you back. Not in this lifetime you won't, but okay, you can say that. How much patience did he have for that one fellow that owed him a few more dollars than himself?
Zero.
See, there was a translation problem. You know, how much debt did this man get canceled? Millions of dollars. How much was he unwilling to cancel in this person who owed him money?
Probably hundreds.
You understand the gravity and the disconnect that's there? And it's really amazing to me that you and I can have this kind of walk with God, and we experience all of these things, and we're so glad that He loves us and forgives us and offers us mercy and kindness, and we just don't have the time of day for our spouse. We don't have any patience. we're quick to give up on them. We don't even go back again. Well, we've been talking about this for 10 years. I'm trying to put perspective because this is 38 years of my life.
Yes.
I also wanted to add that I've been married 31 years, 4 months. You know how many days that is? I thought I could at least pick your interest. No, we don't want to contemplate that. Just tell us. Well, I will. Because I sat down and added it up.
Come on, tell us.
That's 10,415 days that I've been with her.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you this.
Come on.
How many times do you think that she's had to be gracious to me? More than 10,000, right? 20,000. Yeah, that's right.
Infinity.
The stars could not even be numbered. How many times do you think that she's had to be patient with me?
50,000.
You're probably right. Or maybe 100,000. I don't know. How many times did she have to treat me better than I deserve to be treated?
Wow.
Makes her hot.
Huh? You know. How many times did I need for her to decide in her heart that she would cherish me? How many times did I need for her to choose to love me when I was not very lovable? I'm talking thousands. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
See, we want to walk away and we want to have a great weekend and we want everything to be fixed. We want to have a great marriage and we don't want the thousands behind it. We want to have the successes without the day-to-day stuff that make the success. But what I'm trying to tell you is that without you connecting what God has been to you, you can't turn around and do it to someone else.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why we've got to see ourselves for who we are and appreciate what God has done in our lives.
Amen.
How can you have a great marriage? Just look the way the Lord treated you.
Mm.
I daily remember how it was for me before I became a Christian, and I sincerely believe God has not treated me like my sins deserve. For some reason, he wants to forgive me. For some reason, he wants to love me. For some reason, he wants to bless me.
Mm.
For some reason, he even wants to use me. But he's not treated me like I should be treated for what I've done to him. How about you? How does that connect with your spouse? Am I losing you on this one?
No.
To me, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
I mean, when I start seeing disciples treating each other badly, I'm going, whoa, they haven't looked in the mirror lately, have they?
Mm.
You know, have you forgotten who you are?
Yeah, preach.
You know?
Wow.
And sometimes we do, don't we? One of the bad things that I think that is probably, I don't know if it's a condition or what, but, you know, we tend to gravitate from being sinners to sometimes like Pharisees. You know, as our lives get, as our lives are forgiven and our lives are changed and sin becomes less and less a reality, blatant sin becomes a less and less reality of our lives, we tend to think that we are, can be at times a little bit better than who we really are.
Yeah.
And before long, we start looking down our noses at each other instead of saying, you know, it was just the other day that I was a condemned man ready to die for the things that I had done to the Lord. And God, because I pled with God, he gave me mercy. He gave me forgiveness. And I don't ever want to forget that. But we tend to treat each other, it's really kind of weird how we'll tend to treat each other differently than how we want the Lord to treat us. And periodically we got to be brought back to that. That's why I think the Lord's Supper is so important every week. It reminds us the cross is the reality. There would, by the grace of God, go any of us. Making any sense to you guys?
Yes.
Amen.
Let's look at one more passage and we'll call it a day. Can we do it?
Come on, Keith.
Luke 7, please.
Come on, Keith.
Come on.
You know, there have been times in our marriages where we had to look at each other and realize that there needed to be a lot of grace and mercy extended to each other. I think I was telling the brothers, there was a time where my father had died and I was kind of tailspinning spiritually and going into a very dark place. And my example about what Christianity was should be in my home was less than honorable. I was just worried, fretful, negative in my thought process. And my son at the time told me, he says, "Dad, I want to become a disciple. I just don't want to become one like you." And I can remember I just wanted to just take me out, Lord. If this is what I'm doing to my kids, kill me. And so I went and got some input, some direction in my life. I came back and I got down on my knees to my son and I said, "Dad has been not doing right to you." I said, "I've not been living a life like a disciple. I've just been kind of existing. I'm very sorry for that. I've shown a lot of unbelief, lack of faith on my own part. Will you please forgive me?" And he says, "Sure, Dad, I'll be doing that." And I said, "Hopefully by my actions you'll see that I'm really different. I had forgotten a lot of things." And so as the days went by, I changed. Son came back. I think I've told you this, but he came back and said, "Dad, when you say you're going to repent, you really repent." And I go, "Thank you, God, you know. Thank you for your mercy in my life." But we can forget where we come from. And we tend to see that we're pretty good people and that we're doing God a favor by serving Him. And, you know, and God, we're owed certain things. You know that, don't you? Right? You know, after all these years, I should be getting this. And I feel like I'm getting shortchanged over here. And this is not fair. And, you know, I'm like, when did we sign up for all of that?
That's right.
We just asked God the day we were baptized into Christ, "Please, God, if you do nothing else in my life, please forgive me.
Amen.
Please place your spirit inside of me. And if there's some possible way you can use me, please use me." Luke 7. Can we go there?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. I always like the fact that Jesus eats with a lot of people. Don't you?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
A lot of evangelism goes on over a table.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's why you should have people in your home.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen. That's right.
Just perspective. You know? When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. What would you have done if you were right there? Honestly. Not, "Well, this is a spiritual thing to say." I've been kind of blown away by it. Like, whoa, what's going on here? You know. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he did some self-talk. You know, have you ever had self-talk?
Yeah.
Kind of go, "What is going on here?" You know, like, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of a woman she is, and that she is a sinner." Now Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." I always like that. Simon's thinking these thoughts to himself, and then Jesus kind of says, "I got to say, Simon, I've got something I want to talk to you about." He says, "Tell me, teacher." Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, which is about a day's wage. A denarii is about a day's wage, so it's about a year and a half kind of thing. Another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?
That's right.
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water to wash my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is he who even forgives sin? Jesus said to her, woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Which person had the greater sin? I know we're going to give the academic answer, but as we look at it honestly, who had the greater sin?
The woman.
The woman. We'd say the woman?
The woman, yeah.
That's because we look at it from a human point of view, don't we?
Yeah.
Which person was judgmental?
Simon.
The religious guy, right?
Yeah.
The guy that didn't have as many sins to repent of. Which person was really grateful? It's the lady, wasn't it? Which person saw their sin clearly?
The woman.
See, Pharisee had a hard time with that one, didn't he? Which person displayed love? Now, what was the cause for her to display love? She says, because she was forgiven of many sins. You see, one of the reasons why we have a hard time loving our spouses is we forget who we are. We tend to believe our own press. We tend to think that, I'm a pretty good guy. Shoot fire. I've been with her for 31 years. That ought to count for something. You know, I don't run around. I don't abuse her. And I can say all of those things and not think for a moment that I am a great sinner that is forgiven of so many sins. And that it should just humble me beyond words that God in His grace forgives me, and then He blesses me with a part that will spend the rest of my life. But you see, how I treat her is going to be a reflection of how I see myself. As God continues to change things in my life, there would be a tendency, if I allow it to happen, for me to become more and more self-righteous, for me to more and more to start looking down my nose, thinking that I am better than her or anybody else. And yet, in all honesty, I have to say, after 38 years of life, I'm just simply a sinner that's saved by the grace of God. Please let me love and serve you the way that God has treated me. And honestly, that's how I've tried to operate. Now, I can be a jerk. I know that. You know, I don't want to be a jerk sometimes, but when we look back over all of our years, I've simply tried to treat my spouse the way that God has treated me. And I think that's a fair thing to do, don't you?
Sure.
I think it's a fair thing to do. You know, we cannot afford a luxury of becoming self-righteous and think that we are holier than thou. We've got to stay disciples. We've got to stay humbled by the cross. And we've got to realize, as we say in the studies that we study with other people, that we are no better off than the man that is that's destined to be punished for other sins that he's done. We're right there. And we have to allow for that grace of God to change us and to humble us. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as you're walking away today, I really want to give you the charge to just reflect as you say, well, I want to cherish my spouse. How am I going to do that? Well, first of all, I want to realize how cherished I've been to God in the way that He's treated me. And I want to let it go in the way that I treat her. Let's close by looking at 1 Corinthians 13 and we'll call it a day. How's that? Has this been okay for you guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
All right. You know the way. I love the fact that you and I have got weapons the world does not have.
Yeah.
Woo! I like that. And one of the greater weapons we have is love.
Yeah.
It is a very powerful thing. I'm just going to read it and remind you of it, okay? Verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. 13, y'all can find it, 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I possess all, if I give all I possess to the poor and many special missions contributions and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Amen to that. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Mm. It always protects. Mm. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Mm. Love never fails. Down at the end of the chapter, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. My charge to you as we leave is to please love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But it sure would be good if we would love our spouses the way that God loves us. Amen?
Amen.